All right. Thank you, folks. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation. We've been in it quite a bit lately. And going chapter by chapter and verse by verse through the book of Revelation. We're into chapter 8. So if you get into chapter 8, we'll probably be in it another time or two. And we take our time. I think Brother Miller said to me, I know what you're doing. You're going slow so the rapture will take place before you get through. He might be right. In fact, I hope he is right. Amen. But Revelation chapter 8, we always have to review a little bit. It's not that I'm so forgetful, but you are. Right? Somebody said, he said that before, several times. Yeah, right. No doubt about it. Big thing on the challenge of Book of Revelation, I take a futuristic view. I believe the right view is a premillennial view. We believe in a pre-trib rapture. We believe in the millennial reign, the kingdom age of Christ coming. But you can't have the kingdom till the king shows up. Amen. And a lot of churches think they're building the kingdom, but brother, they're doing a sorry job if they're building it. If you've read the headlines, you know it's not going so good. But the truth is, when the Lord comes back, it's going to be real good. He's going to have it just right. Amen. No doubt about it. Remember, we started off in chapter 1 where we found out John was on the Isle of Patmos, exiled over there by the Roman emperor. And God wasn't through with him. I find this sometime in the ministry, seeing folks that get kind of feeble sometime. We get old. But I told somebody this morning, God's not through with you yet. When he gets through with you, he'll take you home. In the meantime, he's got something for us to do. Amen. And John was given the vision of a book of Revelation. And in chapter 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches, the key verse to rightly dividing the book of Revelation. And by the way, if you don't rightly divide the Bible, you can go into all kinds of heresies and all kinds of stuff. Rightly dividing the book of Revelation is chapter 1, verse 19, where John was told to write the things that thou hast seen. That would be his vision. Write the things which are. One verse. That's the church age. The letters to the seven churches. Then the church. Then the things which shall be hereafter. Now, once you get past chapter 3 in the book of Revelation, you're into things hereafter the church age. You and I are still in the church age. We're close. I believe we're right ready to close it out. I believe the Laodicean liberal church of our day is apparent everywhere you look in every kind of way. And I believe it's the church that makes God sick on his stomach. He says, you're neither hot nor cold. I'll spew you out of my mouth. And I believe we're in that age, but we're expecting to get out of it most any time the trumpet sounds. Amen. And from that point on, you're going future in the book of Revelation. Chapter 5, John's caught up around the throne, sees some things in heaven, sees a book taken out of the hand of him that sits on the throne, but one had to be worthy to take the book. That one that turned out to be worthy, of course, was the Lamb. It called him the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but when John looked, he saw a lamb that was slain. And so it was by the blood of the lamb that Jesus prevailed. He took the seven seal book out of the hand of God from the throne and then begins to open the seals. And so as we're getting through the book of Revelation now, we've already come through six of those seals being opened. We started chapter 8 last Sunday, and that's the seventh seal. Chapter 7 was a parenthetical chapter. In other words, you just hold your timeline right there. If you ever wrote a sentence and right in the middle of it, you put a parenthesis. You know, you might say, well, I drove from Florida to Michigan. I don't know why anybody would do that, but I mean, I drove from Florida to Michigan, and that'd be true. But you could say, well, I was on the way to Michigan, I had a flat tire. You could put that in parenthesis. So chapter 7 in the book of Revelation is something kind of interjected in there. And then we get to chapter 8 and we have the seventh seal being opened. And so we start into moving on a little bit further. However, God sees the whole thing as though it was already complete. You know, like walking up to a picture on the wall, you can see the whole thing at one time. In our limited human ability and mind, we we have to kind of take things in order, one step at a time. And so chronological order gets us mixed up a little bit in the book of Revelation if we're not careful. But God, like at the end of chapter 6, he's jumped all the way over to a scene that takes place in chapter 19 near the end of the book when the Lord Jesus comes back leading the armies of heaven. But now we come back and we fill in and we fill in and we fill in. And we'll be filling in here in chapter 8. Now the challenge is to rightly divide, knowing we're in the tribulation period from chapter 4 on, chapter 5 on, we know we're in that period. Chapters 4 through chapter 19 in the book of Revelation, you're in what we call the tribulation period. Tribulation period, we believe, is a 7-year period. God works by sevens in the Bible, we all know that. Book of Daniel tells us 70 weeks were determined upon the people of Daniel, which was the Jews. And we find out that there's 7 years remaining yet to be fulfilled. We're kind of in a parenthesis time now in the church age, the grace age. Erica was singing about saved by grace. Thank God for that. The grace age, and some don't like to call it this because you're always saved by grace from Genesis on. I understand that. But God does some rightly dividing for us. For instance, if you don't rightly divide, you might be trying to keep the Old Testament law to be saved, and nobody's been successful to do that. Only Jesus kept the law for us. So you got to get things in perspective. And in perspective, we recognize that the tribulation period, 7 years long, Daniel's 70th weeks, 62 weeks up to the time the Lord was cut off on the cross and died for us. And after the resurrection, the church age, we come on in. We'll start that last 7 years that'll make up the 70 weeks of years. We'll start that after we get into Revelation chapter 4, after the trumpet sound and call John up to heaven. We're in that tribulation period. Now, it's divided in two. It's 3.5 years. 2 3.5s makes a 7. So we are trying to get our bearing a little bit, because in chapter 8, some events take place, and you've heard me preach on it, near, I believe, and I think by rightly dividing, by the time we get to some of these events in chapter 8, on a timeline, we're probably moving toward the end, close to the end of the 7-year period. And we'll talk about that, and I'll have to review for some of you because I've spoken on it in the past, not too long ago. I'm going to start over in chapter 8 in verse 1 of Revelation. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven in about the space of a half hour. We joked about that. That was some evangelist argument. There'd be no women in heaven, but he must have had a bad marriage, huh? Anyway, joking aside, we don't know what that half hour silence, except God's about to act. He's about to do something. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. Book of Revelation is a book of sevens. Number 7 in the scripture is the completion. God's completing the thing. Just like when he, the acts of creation, and he rested or he ceased on the seventh day. So it's a book of sevens. You have all kind of sevens in the book of Revelation, and it means God is completing something. He's completing something. And then in verse 3, another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense. And, of course, we think of that as something that smokes and smells good, I guess, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So I think by talking about the incense, it's kind of showing us how our prayers do come up before the Lord. You know, sometimes we think, well, that was a wasted prayer. No such thing as a wasted prayer. I often say God answers all prayers. He can say yes, he can say no. And the one we hate the worst is when he says wait, right? That's the one that gets us. But with all that said, the prayers are not wasted. And think about it, folks. There's a lot of hurting humanity in this world today. You think about the mission field and what we hear from our missionaries and what we know about. I was reading again this week something I knew. Some of you remember the 21 workers out of Egypt. You saw them in their reddish-orange shirts, coveralls, whatever they put on them, when Islam took them out and chopped all their heads off. Now, that was in the news. And that is a terrible religion. It's not a loving religion, brother. It's a killing religion. But with all that said, they took those 21 out there and made them get on their knees with their hands tied behind them and chopped off every one of the heads. What the regular news did not tell you was what Islam will do. If you want to save your life, once you get to that point, you got to recant. You got to deny Jesus and accept Islam. 21 of those workers refused to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder today, when I think about all that scares us to death, the virus and everything else, I would not want to be tested like they were, but I'd like to think I could pass that test. And even if it meant saving my life, still not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those 21 workers, and it was on TV. By the way, Islam made their own videos, and they wanted you to see the whole bloody mess. But our TV news cleaned it up. It would not show the whole thing. Now, some of you have seen. I had a group of preachers here one time in a preacher's meeting, and we looked at one of those videos where they literally sawed off that young Jew's head. He was a reporter. I forget his name at the minute. But that was in the news also. They showed it, but they didn't show the whole bloody thing, of course, on TV. But we had a video and did look at it, and it's a horrible thing. After it was done, several of us made the comment, I wish I had not looked at that. It was something that stick in your brain and just not good. But anyway, the martyrs here, all over the world, all the prayers, you think about it, all the prayers that's going up. Now let's get a little thought here on this thing as we look into it. About verse 4 here, the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints. And we call these tribulation saints. We believe God's saints, the saved, the church, the bride, is going to be caught out. We believe that happened back in chapter 4. So now we're in the tribulation period. Now we're moving toward the end of it, when the saints are being killed. We read at the end of chapter 6 where the souls of the martyrs under the altar cried out and asked God, how long? Remember? And he said, wait a little while till some others are killed just like you're killed. And then we looked that up in chapter 20 and found out the method they were killed was by having their heads chopped off. We talked to you about the guillotine probably being used again in the tribulation period. And the most uncanny thing is right here in the United States of America, at least a couple, probably more, I know of at least a couple of states that have stored up guillotines in great numbers. And that is, I'll repeat it because some of you were not here. I was born in the state of Georgia. We call it the Promised Land up there. But anyway, found out that in the legislature in Georgia, they had bought and stored up guillotines. I had my secretary call some people and check it out and try to get the reason why they were storing up guillotines. 30,000. That's a lot of guillotines. Boy, that's a lot. And they said, you know, their excuse, feeble excuse, I don't accept this excuse. They said because sometimes when someone is given capital punishment, an electric chair or gas chamber, they may want to donate their organs, and the organs are ruined if we fry them in the electric chair or if we gas them. But if you give a clean, chopped-off head, then the organs are still good. Now that is a wild excuse. I just don't buy it. What I do buy is that there's a time coming on planet Earth when, in the tribulation period, heads are going to be chopped off in great numbers, according to the book of Revelation. And so, think about it today, the ones that are praying all over the world to the Lord, and yet I don't believe those prayers are lost. It says here they come up like incense before the Lord. Now, it says the angel in verse 5 took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now get the picture here. the prayers go up like incense. God captures them, sends them back down. So what do you mean? I mean, I think they come back as judgment. I really do. I believe God rains back on the heads of his enemies. And says they come back down here. Something happens when it happens. Thundering, lightnings, earthquake. And I don't know. Offered up his prayers, coming back down in vengeance. Yes, that's possible. You know, the Bible tells us, and we live in the age, we are to turn the other cheek if we can, live peaceably with every man if we can, all of that. We render good for evil, do our best to do that. And we can joke about it a little bit and say some things that we don't understand. Somebody said to me one time, I was younger and maybe a little more hot-headed than now, but my wife might have an opinion on that. But anyway, a fellow said, if I slapped you on the cheek, would you turn the other cheek? Jesus did. I said, I wouldn't advise trying it because I'm not Jesus. Now, you know what I'm saying? We do our best, but sometimes you might not be able to do all you even would want to do. But there's a time coming when God's going to say, I've had enough. And just like those souls under the altar praying, asking God how long at the end of chapter 6 there, there's a time coming. Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. There is a time that grace is going to be used up in the sense that judgment is going to start falling. And so these prayers may represent that, coming back down. I think about the woman that went to the pastor saying to him, my husband's mean to me. We're just not getting along. He's this, he's that, and the other. What can I do about it? Pastor quoted to her out of the book of Romans over there. Excuse me, coughing this morning. It's not COVID. I've had it since I was 4. Anyway, he was quoting to her out of the book of Romans. He said, well, have you tried to heap hot coals on his head? Have you tried to heap hot coals on his head? She said, no, but I poured hot coffee on him. Is that just as good? Now the truth is we can't quite handle all of it, but there's a time God's going to say, I've had enough, and judgment begins to fall. And I think every evil thing that's going to come up before the Lord, how many prayers that he's going to turn in reverse and bring back. Now, it says some things are going to happen on the earth here when that vengeance begins to fall. Thunderings and lightnings, earthquake, those things that men fear today, they'll come in double time. Now, it says in verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. I don't know. We've seen bands, and I like Brother Burt blowing his trumpet here. Somebody said that livened up the service. It does help a little bit. Wakes us up anyway. Amen. And we appreciate it. But a trumpet has a way of getting your attention, don't it? And these angels are getting ready. They're lining up, as it were. They're getting ready to blow that thing. By the way, Haines City used to have a good marching band. I guess they still do. I don't know. But I remember when it got started in school. And they come around to the classroom. Everybody wants to be in the band. Everybody wants to play an instrument, you know, come and meet with us. Well, all of us did. We thought it'd be great if we could play an instrument. And literally at that meeting, they passed around some trombones and some trumpets. And we called them bugles back then. Anyway, they passed them out to us kids, and we were just dumb enough to think we could pick it up and just blow it and blow it. Couldn't make a sound out of that thing. That's right. That took all my enthusiasm away. I never did learn how to make a sound. That was it. That's the only meeting I ever attended. Truth of the matter is, it takes a little know-how. It takes a little practice, for sure. These angels are getting ready to sound, and they sound. Says in verse 7, and the angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. By the way, somebody says, how can that be? Have you ever watched any of those shows on TV where they talk about unusual weather? Have you ever seen some of them they couldn't explain, and one of them was blood coming out of the sky? Have you ever seen that? Okay. Watch something deeper every now and then. Amen. Never did explain why, but they showed it. By the way, have you ever heard somebody say, it rained cats and dogs? Well, that's more to that than you think. You go over to England today, and even in nice neighborhoods, over close to Shakespeare's old home, Stratford-on-the-Avon, I heard that so much from a teacher, I wanted to spit. Never wanted to go over and see it, but one time on a tour, we had to go by there. And I saw these more wealthy homes, and I couldn't believe it. They had straw roofs. Anybody ever seen that? All right, I got to teach you science here just a minute. They literally, on those roofs, looked like hay to me. That thick. Now, I'm sure modern homes probably had something under it. And then they had what I would call chicken wire. That's what we'd have called it on the farm. Big wire, big holes in it. And it was over the straw, and that was buckled down to keep the wind from blowing it off. I couldn't believe they were still doing that, but they say that's great insulation. But in the old days, they didn't have anything under the straw. They did have straw roofs. And over a period of time, cats and dogs would get on the roof and bury into the straw. And all kind of creatures could get in there. Then during a hard rain, it was not impossible for a dog or cat to fall through the roof, come in the house. So when the old saying says it rains cats and dogs, that goes way, way back to where it actually kind of happened. You ever hear anybody say it? It rained frogs. How many have ever seen it rain frogs? All right, Mrs. Smith. Anybody else? All right, Brother and Sister Lee. I have seen it rain frogs. Yes, I have. Say, how you know? It didn't fall out of a tree, because it wasn't coming through a tree. It was coming out of the clear sky and hitting the sidewalk, and when the rain had hit the sidewalk, you keep watching the little frogs are bouncing up out of the water. I see, I got two or three witnesses. I'm not lying. I have seen that. I have seen that. I've seen it rain frogs. And some folks, I've never seen it, said it rained fish. That's about the only way I could catch one, I reckon, but anyway. Anyway, strange things. Now, scientifically, maybe the cloud held the water and maybe it hatched, you know, it come out of the lake and got up there and somehow or another it became a frog from the time it left the cloud. I don't know, but I know what I saw. And so now something is fixing to rain down right here in the book of Revelation. And it's God's vengeance coming out here. And hell and fire mingled with blood cast onto the earth. And the third part of the trees was burned up. And all green grass was burned up. Now, you've heard me talk on this before. I want you to get the picture. The second angel sounded, and there was a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Third part of the creatures in the sea that had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the mountains of waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood. Now, you've heard me talk about it. Wormwood is in the scriptures, and it means bitter, poison. And we had the example of the nuclear plant exploding in Russia a number of years ago. When I was over in Romania and started to grab a handful of snow to eat it, the preachers over said, no, 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 no. And they couldn't speak English to me very well, but finally through the interpreter, I figured out what they were talking about. They were pointing across the border to Russia, not far from the nuclear plant that exploded. What they were saying was wormwood, poison. the radiation or nuclear fallout mixing in with the moisture and snow. It looked like a pretty bright day and looked like pretty snow, and I just reached over on the edge of the roof and I was going to taste it like a Florida boy would in snow. And they just pitched a fit. Don't do that. You see, it's talking about right here. When they begin to say wormwood, I knew then a little bit what they were talking about. Now, I want you to get the picture, and I can't spend proper time on it, but get the picture. If this is near the end of the tribulation period, this is predicted to hit the earth and to hit the ocean and the great damage and the great life, third part. Now, if a asteroid or a planetary body was coming to hit earth, we'd be watching it on TV for a long time. It takes a long time. I've said this before. I remember when a meteor asteroid was going to hit planet Jupiter. It was on the news several nights, and we tracked it. We'd watch it. NASA already knew when it was going to hit. Interesting thing, the Bible codes, those that study them, also predicted the same date that it would hit Jupiter. Both were right. It did hit on that exact date. Now they say this one that's coming, they say, and you can check it out, NASA has also made a prediction concerning it. Is it the same one? I don't know. But they are saying that one is coming, that it is going to hit Earth, unless they can do something about it. And they've got a date on it, and it's 2029. So 9 years from now, if NASA's right, it's going to hit somewhere out on the edge of Mexico-California border, according to them, out there somewhere. Now, check it out for yourself, because you know as much about it as I do, but they have written it, but they're very quiet about it. They say they have a plan to nudge it off course with a rocket, nuclear weapon, whatever. I don't really trust that too much. I don't trust the government too much, for one thing, to fix anything. If you read this close, it sounds like this thing becomes two parts. Now get the part here, and I'm going to go back to this next week because I'm running out of time now. But could you imagine, they first put it on TV when it's just the size of a baseball coming. But in another week, it's the size of a softball. In another week, it's bigger than a grapefruit. In another week, it's a basketball size. And finally, it gets so close that the heat from it begins to burn the grass and burn the trees. You read the text right here. Don't you think there'll be a little panic going on by that time? I think there will. It'll be more panic than any virus could ever cause, I'll tell you that, if that is it. Now, it's called wormwood here. God gave it a name. But if you look it up in NASA's writings, it's called Apoptus, A-P-O-P-U-S or T-U-S. You see, they like to go to the Greek. When you read about the rockets going up, the satellites, they call up Apollo. That's not English. That's talking about the heavenly bodies. They use the Greek. So Apoptus is Greek. They use a shortening version of it, and I've seen some of their writings on it. They call it APEC, A-P-E-P, I believe is the way they spell it. APEC, it's just short. But they do admit they're watching it. They are tracking it. And they're not saying a whole lot about it because they don't want to panic America. You see how easy America panics today, don't you? And they don't want to panic the world. Now, they're predicting the thing will hit in 2029 unless they're able to nudge it and get it off its orbit and all that. It is a great big asteroid, according to them. Now, I've said this several times on it. I don't know if this is it, but this one is going to hit Earth because God says so in His Word. They're not going to divert it. In its timing, it's going to hit. Is it the one they're talking about or is it another? I don't know. But I know one thing, God didn't write it in vain. And man's not going to change it. And whatever he said is going to come. It'll come on his time and his way. Now, if NASA's right, and it is going to hit in 2029, and this is it, then I hope you got your bags packed for the rapture. Because if the tribulation period is 7 years long, and this comes at the end of the tribulation period, then we ought to be very excited for the next 2 years. You following that? So you're trying to scare me. No. No, I wouldn't want to be afraid of it. I'd be rejoicing that Jesus is coming. Now, if you're not saved, you're not born again, you ought to panic. You ought to panic. It'd be very, very dangerous if you're left here. And so I just say to you, I don't know this is the one, but I know this. Think about it, how scary it would be. The news comes on and says the trees are beginning to drop their leaves. Next week, the grass is beginning to burn. Now the water's beginning to boil. That means the heat from that thing is getting closer and closer. You ever stood in front of a hot stove or a fireplace? You know what I'm talking about. The heat reaches out. And of course it would be reaching out and doing damage on earth a long time before it hit. Now reading these scriptures close, it sounds like it splits in two. Could that be a man-made effort to divert it that actually splits it in two and one part falls in the ocean and one part hits the ground? You say, oh, that's scary. Well, read the Bible. I like a, y'all forgive me. I'm going to tell you what I saw on a bumper sticker one time right here in Haines City. I saw it and I said amen to it. Pulled up behind a car, had a bumper sticker on it. It was red letters written in flames, designed like flames on the back bumper of that car. And here's what it said. It said, read the Bible. It'll scare the hell out of you. Well, that might be the proper use of it, but I thought, not very many folks forget that bumper sticker. And the truth is, if you read the Bible, it's got some things to say you ought to pay attention to. You know what? The good thing is God gives us a warning, don't he? And he not only gives us a warning not to do something, but he tells us how to have the victory over it and have the blessing out of it. Amen? All right, my time's up. Y'all didn't listen fast enough this morning.